Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Efforts to legalize medicinal and recreational marijuana in South Dakota are now in the hands of voters. If passed, Amendment A would legalize recreational use of marijuana in the state, while initiated Measure 26 aims to legalize medicinal marijuana. Fighting those efforts is Dr. Benjamin Aker. He's an emergency medicine physician with Avera Medical Group and the president of the South Dakota State Medical Association, and he's joining us to detail the concerns he and other physicians have with both Amendment A and IM-26. Good afternoon, Dr. Aker. Welcome for joining us. Thank you for being here today. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the American Medical Association has weighed in against these two ballot questions. The South Dakota State Medical Association is also speaking out against them. And I do understand that every doctor in the state is going to have their own opinion about certain things. But tell me a little bit about, from the South Dakota State Medical Association standpoint, how do you come to some kind of consensus to say we are as a group for or against something like this? Give us a little behind the scenes with how that works.
Absolutely. So the State Medical Association is comprised of a whole lot of different positions across the state of South Dakota, and we like to represent the 2,000 physicians that we have. But of course, all of those physicians will not always be on having the same opinion on everything. And what they do is they elect their representatives to serve on our policy council. And the policy council contains around 30 to 60, depending on different times, of physicians who are those representatives. And they are the ones who set the policy for the State Medical Association.
Give me an idea of why you're speaking out against these two ballot questions. What's at stake here?
Well, we're the State Medical Association, and we are here to protect the health and safety of the patients and all the citizens of the state of South Dakota, because all the citizens are our patients at some point in time, and we're here to try to represent them in the way that we can from a medical standpoint. And when there is something that, like an initiated measure or an amendment or a bill that comes up that is potentially going to harm that health and safety, that is one of the reasons that the State Medical Association speaks up to oppose that. And when we're talking about legalization of marijuana, whether for recreational purposes or so-called medical marijuana, unfortunately, it has the same risk of side effect to the patients and to the rest of the South Dakotans. And we can get into those later. I'm sure you'll ask me about those. But when those risks outweigh the benefits of whatever we're contemplating, then generally speaking, the Medical Association will be opposed to it.
All right. Let's talk about the fact that when we speak of marijuana these days, we're not just talking about smoking it. We're talking about lotions and other, you know, products that would be available if this legislation were passed and that are available in other states. Can you speak broadly about side effects or efficacy of those things? Is that too broad of a question? Like, what do we know about the variety of products that are out there and what works and what doesn't work?
Sure. Firstly, I'd like to distinguish between cannabidiol, CBD oils that are already able to be sold and used in the state of South Dakota. So that's a different issue. But when we're talking about marijuana, we're talking about the plant itself and whatever you can take from that in and takes the some 400 different chemicals that are in there and puts it into a different form. Most of the time, at least traditionally, it's been in a smoked form, but it also can be modified into an edible format. And other ways of ingestion. The risks of that are really the risks that come with taking 400 different chemicals at the same time. We've done lots of research to look into various chemicals in marijuana and their risk, and a lot of those we do know, such as increased risk of cancer and damage to the lungs, such as emphysema and COPD, poor pregnancy outcomes, and also some psychological issues that can happen in people who are They have a predisposition to have schizophrenia. They're more likely to have a schizophrenic outbreak or a schizophrenic break when they are using marijuana. And then also the risk to the decrease of your reaction time, your decision-making capacity, that goes down when using marijuana. And we worry that there will be increased injuries, whether that's by motor vehicle injuries or simply other injuries.
The American Medical Association was also talking about accidental ingestion by children and increased calls to poison control. Tell me a little bit about some of the risks of greater access to different kinds of CBD or, I'm sorry, not CBD, cannabis products.
Well, we know even right now, if people do not properly handle their prescriptions that they have, for instance, putting them in a locked medicine cabinet and keeping them knowing where it is at all times, that can get in the hands of other people who are not prescribed, but also into children who look at it like they may think it's candy or something that they can eat and ingest, and then they get sick or die from ingestion of that. So that happens now with the legalized, with any of the drugs that we have for prescriptions or otherwise. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't we believe that that would happen if more marijuana got into the hands of normal adult people because they are using it recreationally or, again, the so-called medical marijuana? The Medical Association feels that that increases the risk of injury to children because of the increased ability to get marijuana and to use it if these were to pass.
I want to talk about changing perceptions and how you see that. We have well-known public health experts like Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN, who famously changed his mind about medical marijuana after looking into people's individual stories. There are many doctors who have changed their minds. There's many voters who have changed their minds, which is what we're seeing with the strength of this ballot question right now. As perceptions are changing and as research is expanding, how are you kind of advising physicians, especially if any of these measures pass, to deal with the ethical balance of, having patients who say, I'm my child's having 300 seizures a day and I'm desperate for this treatment, which I've seen work for other people. And yet they're also balancing, their legal obligations and their ethical obligations. Doctors are in a bind here with this.
Well, I would challenge that. I don't think that doctors are in a bind. I think what happens is that people are having difficulty understanding the difference between a drug that is something that we have studied. It's one single chemical that has gone through FDA approval. We know the risks. We know the benefits. We know what dose to use. And the difference between that and something where we're ingesting this plant that has these some 400 chemicals in it, some of which we know are harmful and some of which we just don't even know because we don't have research with it. And when other people are proponents of, again, I'm going to use the term so-called medical marijuana because I don't think it's medical because we have all those chemicals in it. It's not a single drug. What I would remind them is that we already have a drug called dronabinol, which is a medication that can be used for post-chemotherapy nausea and vomiting. And that is derived from the marijuana plant and it's synthesized now. So when we, as researchers, discover a new drug in marijuana, for instance, and we can take that out of marijuana and take all the other harmful chemicals that are in there, remove them, and then use it for things such as nausea and vomiting, or hopefully in the future for things such as seizures and other problems, that is where it becomes a drug. And that is where the physicians, I believe, would be in support of it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the physicians who have been supportive of it in national surveys have been oncologists and dealing with end-of-life cancer pain, hematologists also. Are there areas where the research is looking promising?
Well, I mean, I would turn you again to dronabinol in that now we actually have, we can prescribe that for post-chemotherapy nausea and vomiting. I think that's amazing, and I think that's that some of the proponents of medical marijuana, I think that they're vindicated a little bit in saying that, well, that was helping their mother, their father, their patient even to be able to use marijuana. But the thing that was helping them in that 400 chemicals was the dronabinol. And so now that's been able to be prescribed and we can say, here's the dose that you should take, here's the frequency that you should take. And if you use it properly, we can have a pretty high certainty that it's not going to give you these bad side effects, and we know how that's going to help you. We just don't have that with the marijuana plant, whether it's used as medical marijuana or recreational.
I want you to say more about these 400 chemicals. Are we talking about, if you grow the plant and in smoke it in a recreational format? Are we talking about, a tincture that's been developed that I would get at a medical marijuana dispensary? Explain more about the chemicals that you're talking about.
Absolutely. So in the marijuana plant, when you smoke it, that's where you get 400 chemicals. So now if you were, again, we need to separate the Amendment A, which is recreational marijuana. So that's, we kind of talked about that. And then the IM-26, which is the, again, the so-called medical marijuana. So what that would allow you to do as a patient is to go to a healthcare provider and be certified that you have one of a number of different conditions that's in that initiated measure. And if you get that certification, it basically gives you a card that gives you a license to go ahead and purchase marijuana. So then you can, and whatever, route that they have available there, if you're using under, I believe it's, or if you have 1 ounce or less on your person at a time, then it's legal for you to use that by whatever route that you desire. The prescriber, it's not even prescriber, the physician or other healthcare person that you saw only gave you the license to get this, did not say this is how much you should use, didn't say this is the route that you should take it, whether you should eat it or smoke it. And so then you're getting those chemicals in you even by going to a dispensary.
Okay, but your physician would, in theory, recommend what to do at the dispensary.
I would hope so. I don't know if that would happen. There's nothing in the initiated measure that requires that.
So the doctor would give you basically a recommendation to go to the dispensary, and then at the dispensary you would. So we're kind of parsing exactly how this would work
Sure.
and how this wouldn't work. Are you supportive? Because I think the American Medical Association has been supportive of a research expansion act to find out more about the medical applications or the healthcare applications of cannabis. Is that something that the State Medical Association is also supportive of?
The
Do we
State
need to
Medical
know more?
Association is supportive of research. We do need to know more, and we support research into marijuana and the components, all these components of it. What is helpful, what is harmful, and how can we separate the two?
How much research has been coming out lately about that? How fast is this research really developing?
Well, I don't know that I can really quantify that, but we do have ongoing research. I mean, like again, the dronabinol, the drug that we have now is really exciting. I'm not sure which other ones are near the market. A lot of times when drug companies are looking at producing those and releasing them, they don't really have a good timeline for us. But it, and that's an issue with getting the research done. But there is a lot of demand. I mean, if there wasn't demand, then we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. And there is probably some chemicals. In fact, we know there's at least one that is beneficial in marijuana, and hopefully we'll be able to find more to be able to address the concerns and the very valid concerns that the proponents have. We just feel that they're going about it the wrong way.
Dr. Benjamin Aker is with the South Dakota State Medical Association. He's president of that organization. He's been talking to us about Initiated Measure 26 and Amendment A, two ballot questions that South Dakota voters are weighing in on now through absentee voting. And we'll have the final say on November 3rd. Dr. Aker, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
And thank you for inviting me. Have a great day.